behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Pressured. Wolf right. Sacked. He is sacked. It is Kyle Williams to bring him down at the 15-yard line.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Today, Murph is joined by Bills kicker Dan Carpenter, Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com, and sideline reporter Joe Biscaglia. That and your phone calls today on the John Murphy Show.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Jan Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, reminds you, healthy changes everything.
This place is pandemonium!
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Leonis Furman!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And the Monday morning edition, we are back on the air this Monday after a Buffalo victory. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Mondays. We're on the air from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. That's where we are right now. We're back on the air tonight, 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and then it's Monday night football time. But Monday, it's a different schedule for us, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Happy to have you with us. Hope you can participate via the telephone, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, the number 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us via Twitter. Just go to at John Murphy Show on Twitter. You can send in comments that way. Lines are open if you'd like to talk about yesterday's Buffalo victory, if you'd like to talk about what it means, how they got there, your impressions, what you liked, what you didn't like. 803-0550, the number to call. And thanks very much for tuning in today. A lot of thoughts about the game. We want to issue this reminder, too. As I said, we're here today, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Tomorrow, we are 7 to 9 p.m., and tomorrow night we're going to be broadcasting the show live at the brand-new NOCO Express store, NOCO Express on Campbell Boulevard and North French Road in Gettysville. We'll be there from 7 to 9 o'clock tomorrow night. You can stop by and say hello. C.J. Spiller from the Bills will be there with pictures and autographs. C.J. will be there from 7 to 8 p.m. The Buffalo Jills will be there 6:30 to 8:30. So stop by tomorrow night and say hello. The NOCO Express store, 7 to 9 p.m., the John Murphy Show broadcasting live. We're at the NOCO Express, the brand new one, or recently renovated one, on in Gettysville, North French Road and Campbell Boulevard. The game, pretty good, really good, actually. I think it's a significant win. And even with the earlier wins, the win over the Ravens, the win over Carolina, I would mark that win, yesterday's win, at the Dolphins as the most significant win of the year to date. To date. There might be some more coming down the line, as a matter of fact. A number of reasons why. And you can check off the boxes. A win on the road for a team that had not won yet on the road and lost several games in a row on the road dating back to last year. A win in the division for a team that had not won a divisional game yet. A come-from-behind win in the fourth quarter. Hard to do. Yes, they let a 14-point lead slip away. Yes, they gave up some things to the Miami Dolphins, but when push came to shove, when they needed it in the fourth quarter, they came up with the big plays on offense, defense, and even the special teams kicks. They came up with the big plays to come from behind and win it. A win, really, and with a third-string quarterback. I mean, let's face it, Thad Lewis, you know, and he's been a gamer. He's a competitor. He made some plays yesterday, including a huge play down the stretch late third quarter. But he is essentially a third-string quarterback, and maybe a second. Maybe he's playing his way into second-string status. But they won with him yesterday. His first NFL win, they won with him. They won without a real strong running game, which is supposed to be what the Bills do well. They never really got the ball going on the ground, and yet they found a way to win with a couple of plays from Thad Lewis, with a couple of defensive takeaways, obviously, significant takeaways. But without the strong running game, which is really the bedrock of what they do, they won without that. You know, this Bills team this year, I think going in when we're approaching midseason, and they're kind of on pace to be pretty much where I thought they'd be. I thought going in 7 wins, maybe 8, maybe 9, but 7 wins. And it's kind of where they're going to be, it appears. I mean, next week after the game will be the midway point of the season. But it's going to be, you know, you would think 7, 8, or 9 wins. They'll have ups and downs. They're fighting through injuries, getting healthier everywhere except the quarterback spot this past week. But what I like about this team, what I like a lot, is the way they battle, the way they compete, and the way yesterday, and this is why I think it's the most significant win of the three so far this year, the way they found a way to win without some things in their favor, without E.J. Manuel, without a strong running game. They found a way to win. Very resourceful team. And most of all, through all seven games so far, a wildly exciting football team. I mean, holy mackerel. These games are taking a toll. They are unbelievable how these games go down to the wire. A lot of standouts yesterday. Mario Williams with two sacks. He's got 10 right now. Mario Williams, he's on pace for about 21 or 22 sacks, which is an outstanding year. I think he has upped his game from a year ago. I think he's upped his competitive level from a year ago. We've got a feature coming up on BuffaloBills.com, Mario Williams Wired, and that should be up, what, Wednesday, Thursday, I would think,
usually, it should be up tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
And you'll get a chance to see how competitive he is, how plugged into the game he is, how badly he wants to win and make plays, because he was wired yesterday when he was making all those big plays. He was almost dominant, I think, in stretches of that game yesterday. They didn't have an answer. Jonathan Martin didn't know what to do with him. And then on the other side, Tyson Klebo did not know how to handle him, the other tackle. Mario Williams, I thought, was just a standout in yesterday's game. Dan Carpenter, what a great story that was, to go back to Miami after 5 years kicking there, similar to the Bill situation with Ryan Lindell. I mean, Carpenter was a good, reliable kicker for the Dolphins for those 5 years, and yet they drafted Caleb Sturgis. They wanted him to play, and he got the job from Dan Carpenter after a training camp battle. And look what Carpenter's done. 15 consecutive field goals, including the game winner with 33 seconds left to play. Obviously, the kickoff after that, he admits, was mishit. But he's been, I think, a pleasant surprise as they picked up Dan Carpenter right before the season began. An interception yesterday for a guy who I think is one of the unsung heroes of the first seven games, Aaron Williams. Got the pick yesterday, the third of his season, the fourth of his career, really important interception down in the end zone. And you know the Bills are 3-0 when Aaron Williams has an interception this year? All three wins, Aaron Williams has had an interception. I think he is one of the unsung heroes of this Bills season so far. Thad Lewis did another good job. I thought early in the game, Lewis was a little bit shaky. I mean, the Dolphins had a good pass rush, and Lewis, I thought, was not handling it well. I don't know if he was taking a look downfield often enough. He was kind of dumping off to check off guys underneath the coverage. As the game went on, though, he stepped up his game and made that incredible play that we talked about late in the third quarter. Stevie Johnson, a big game yesterday, and it appeared to me that Stevie, in his first game with Thad Lewis, took a while, an adjustment period, to get on the same page, but Stevie made six catches, including a huge catch on the very same play we talked about with Thad Lewis. Stevie now moves into 11th place all time in most receptions in his Buffalo Bills career. He passed Frank Lewis with his first catch yesterday. I believe it was his first catch. Stevie Johnson with 273 career catches. And, of course, Fred Jackson. What can you say about him? Some heroic runs. I mean, left the game with what looked like a serious injury, returned to the game. You know he's not 100%, making some unbelievable runs, including a key third down run. A lot of standout performances for the Bills in that game yesterday. Just a lot going on in that game. I thought, as I said, the most significant win of the three so far for the Buffalo Bills season. Let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Let's start with Bruce in Albany. Hi, Bruce, you're on the air.
Hi, John, how are you?
Okay.
I wanted to ask a question and see what you thought with the running back situation. We're pretty banged up. It just seems like, you know, they're working Spiller. They're trying to get him healthy. It's just, you know, watching him yesterday, he looked like he was in pain a lot, you know. And, I mean, all the kudos to Fred Jackson. I mean, what a warrior. I'm just totally impressed with his game. Now, what do you think about this? Just with our schedule coming up, what do you think about shutting down Spiller for one game, making him get healthy, maybe get that ankle back up underneath him, and just, you know, he talked about being, not being as explosive. Shutting him down for a game and just taking the hit, going with Fred Jackson and Tashard Choice, and just getting him healthy for the long run, because the bye week is still pretty far away.
Yeah, the bye week is in late November, so there's some games, one, two, three, four games before the bye week. I wouldn't rule that out, Bruce, to tell you the truth. And at one point, I believe it was last Thursday, head coach Doug Marrone would not rule it out either. I'm sure it's in the back of his mind. I think it's a decision that they probably would wait to make until they get into the practice week. But I would not rule that out. I think there might be some benefit to that, to giving CJ an extra week. And if you can get to the bye week and then give him 2 weeks off, you know, if you give him the week, maybe the Jets game before the bye week, even better. But you know, there, if Fred Jackson were 100% healthier, that, by the way, that decision would be a lot easier, I think. And I know they like what they get from Tashard Choice, but it's too bad that Fred Jackson isn't not 100% or maybe not even close to 100%, because then that decision might be, you know, made for him. They could do that. But I wouldn't rule it out. It still could happen. We'll see as we move forward. Let's go to Mark in Orchard Park. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, hats off to the Bills. Another nail-biter. I just had a couple questions about the secondary. I was kind of really disappointed on they were playing Stephon Gilmore with a cast on. They were picking on him a few times. Late in the second quarter, Miami took the ball down and scored. They picked on Gilmore that possession. I just don't know why he's in there with a cast on, because you got to have two hands to catch the ball. I don't know if his coverage was good enough. And Aaron Williams is, I think, the best corner right now. And where does he rank in interceptions in the league? And on the status of E.J. Manuel, when do we expect him to come back? Probably like after the bye week. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
All right. Bye. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot there. Yeah. Last week, Marone said 4 to 6 weeks for Aaron Williams. So that takes you to 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, Jets game at the earliest, November 17th. 6 weeks would be after the bye week against Atlanta. Aaron Williams, with his 3 interceptions, is tied for 6th in the NFL with 3 interceptions. Kiko Alonso with 4 is tied for 1st. Jimmy Leonard with 3 also tied for 6th. I don't know Gilmore has been a liability. I don't think he has. I really don't think he has been a liability. He's not 100% with that club on. I think we're weeks, if not days, away from seeing that removed, and he'll be back to 100%. But I don't think he's a liability. I don't think they would put him out there if they considered him a liability. Can he make all the plays? Can he intercept passes? Maybe not. Maybe not. But I don't think he's been a liability, and I don't know the teams are necessarily picking on him. Dan in North Tonawanda. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I got a evaluation. I don't know whether you want to call it evaluation or not, but, you know, they got to improve on their punt coverage and their kickoff coverage. In my opinion, we've already lost 2 games because of that, and they got to get a little bit better on that offensive line, that guard position. I don't know where they're going to come up with one, but they're going to kill our quarterback if they don't do something better.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I mean, the coverage teams have been an issue. I think it's getting better. The last kickoff from Carpenter, he admitted he mishit it, so he kind of took the hit for that one, and it did look like a kickoff that was a mishit by Dan Carpenter. I think they're getting better, though, with Brian Moorman as the punter, better hang time, better punt coverage with Brian Moorman. And, yeah, I think the offensive line is a work in progress. And, you know, it's interesting. Over the last few weeks, head coach Doug Marone has been spending a lot of time individually working with the offensive line. I think he's identified that as not only a situation of concern, but a area that he can help with his experience, both as a player and a coach in the league along the offensive line. So they're working on it. Very much a work in progress. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We hope to have kicker Dan Carpenter in studio with us a little bit later on. Then at 11 o'clock, Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com will be with us. Joe Biscaglia during the 11 o'clock hour as well. Time now to take a look back at the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. It's our audio game rewind. Sun Life Stadium in Miami, the outskirts of Miami. Yesterday it was brutally hot. It was partly cloudy, 87 degrees. The heat index was up above 90. Just a brutally hot day. I should have put that down among the significant things of yesterday's game, too. The Bills won a game on the road in oppressive heat conditions. It didn't seem to faze them, though. First series, Dolphins get the football, and Miami has it 3rd and 6 from their own 20-yard line.
Quick snap, quick pass, picked off, intercepted by the Bills, headed into the end zone, touchdown! It is Nickell Robey, touchdown Buffalo! Tannehill picked off on his first pass of the game.
You know, he's been really close, you know, and, you know, he's been getting closer and closer, and, you know, I'm out there, and, you know, you guys will say, yeah, great play. I'm going, it's about time, you know, because he's been really close. I mean, he really has. He has very good instincts, and, you know, it was another play in the game he was close to, you know, having the ability to get it. And I think that's, you know, that's why he was able to come in. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was a free agent, you know, and earned his way on the team and earned a spot as our nickel, and has played well for us.
Head coach Doug Marone on Nickell Robey, who got that interception, returned for a touchdown. And with that play, we're going to name Nickell Robey the rookie, the undrafted rookie free agent, this week's New York State Smokers Quitline Game Changer. If you need help to quit smoking, most smokers do qualify for free nicotine patches. Call the New York State Smokers Quitline, 1-866-NY-QUITS, or go to nysmokefree.com. So Buffalo's up 7-0 early on in the game. First quarter moves along, Miami punting from their own 10-yard line.
Brandon Field into punt, gets the kick high into the air. McKelvin running to his left towards the Buffalo bench. Let's it bounce along the sideline, takes a couple of nice hops, stays in the field of play, and down by the Dolphins at the 15-yard line. There is a flag on the play.
Illegal touching. Kicking team number 36 was blocked out of bounds. Returned and was first to touch the kick. That's a 5-yard penalty. We will repeat. Fourth down.
Fields from his end zone. Booms it high. Fielded at the Buffalo 43 by McKelvin. Looks for a block across midfield. Shakes one tackler. Then is driving forward, gets down to the Miami 44-yard line. It'll be a great drive start for the Bills. Raft in the re-kick, a 53-yard punt and a 13-yard return for Leotis McKelvin.
Critical penalty on Miami there, 28 yards difference from where the drive would have started. So Buffalo, with 8 minutes left in the first quarter, has a first down at their own at the Miami 44-yard line.
Fred Jackson back in the game. Quick pass from Thad Lewis, caught by Lee Smith at the 35, spinning forward inside the 30, brought down at the Miami 26-yard line. Lewis under center, takes, turns, hands it off. Spiller bounces off the right side, cuts back to the left, gets the corner. CJ at the 20, and he steps out of bounds after picking up the first down at the Miami 15-yard line. Brett Jackson back in the game for the Bills. Out of the shotgun, Jackson gets the carry, diving towards the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Brett Jackson, touchdown, Buffalo. He's celebrating in the end zone. Safe to say he is good to go.
You know, it was a draw, you know, and I knew that I'd had an opportunity to be to set the Mike linebacker, you know, and it was me and him in a hole, and, you know, I kind of dipped left to put him on the offensive lineman, and once I did that, I was able to get on his edge and, you know, kind of barrel my way in. And, that, again, you know, that was Craig Herbert doing a tremendous job getting on him.
Brett Jackson with a 3-yard touchdown run, and that touchdown run came from the Hunt Real Estate red zone. And Fred Jackson gets into the end zone with that touchdown run just about, 6 minutes after he left the game with what looked like a serious injury. So Buffalo up 14-0. Dolphins get the ball back again. They have it 2nd and 10 at their own 20-yard line.
Play action fake. Tannehill rolled right, being chased down by Branch. Runs to the sideline, fires downfield, and it is caught by Wallace up around the 38-yard line. Tannehill working shotgun now. Snap. Looks downfield, plants his right foot. Fires it, got a man wide open. Hartline makes the catch at the Buffalo 42. Spinning forward, and he is brought down at the 37-yard line. Big play here, 3rd and 5. Miami at the Buffalo 17-yard line. The snap. Tannehill standing in the pocket. Lofts it into the end zone, and it is intercepted. Intercepted at the 1-yard line by Aaron Williams of the Bills. Pass intended for Brian Hartline. And the Bills snuff out that drive with another interception. Their 2nd of the game.
Aaron Williams with his 3rd of the season. It was 14-0. Bills on top as they head to the second quarter. Dolphins get the ball back again early in the second quarter. First down at their own 38-yard line.
Ryan Tannehill working shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off. Lamar Miller driving forward, breaking tackles across midfield. The Bills finally track him down and bring him down at the Buffalo 32-yard line. Oh, baby. A 30-yard run by Miller. Nickell Robey had to bring him down. First down, Miami at the Buffalo 32. Tannehill, the snap. They're going to run an end around. They get the ball in Mike Wallace's hands. Wallace turns the left corner. Gets inside the 30, inside the 25, and cut down at the 20-yard line. 2nd and goal from the 7. The snap. Wants to throw it quickly. He does. It is caught at the 5-yard line by Clay. Turns it upfield into the end zone. Touchdown. Charles Clay. Touchdown, Miami. His 3rd touchdown of the year.
And all of a sudden, it was a football game early in the second quarter. Bills on top, 14-7. Later on in the second quarter, about 7 minutes to play, Buffalo with a football. 2nd down, 8 yards to go from their own 19-yard line.
The snap. Dolphins rush 4. Lewis has time, fires downfield, and it is intercepted by Miami. Picked off by Clemens at the 30-yard line, and he is wrestled to the ground at the 28-yard line. Thad Lewis face down at the 11. Can't believe he just threw that pass.
So the Dolphins take over. After the interception, they started from the Buffalo 31. They got a couple of yards on first down, and then they were 2nd and 8 from the Bills' 29-yard line.
The snap, and Miller gets the carry. They string him out around the left sideline, and Mario Williams drops him. He dropped him at the 34-yard line. Tannehill will go shotgun here. 2 targets left side, 1 man to the right. Here's the snap. Tannehill looks down the middle, pocket collapsing, fires over the middle just to escape the sack. Mario Williams with a tremendous pass rush. And here it comes, a 51-yarder from the rookie Caleb Sturgis. He is 2 of 3 from 50 yards out this year. From the left hash, the snap is good, the kick is up, and the kick is no good. It is no good. He missed it to the right. Actually, he hit it off the right upright, so the score remained 14-7. Bills on top. 6 minutes to play, second quarter. The Bills get a great drive start because of the long missed field goal, a first down at their own 41-yard line. Thad Lewis under center, off the hook after that interception. The snap and the give goes to Frank the Tank. Frank Summers rumbling into the secondary and brought down at the Miami 43-yard line. A first down for Frank Summers, a 16-yard pickup. The snap, another flag, Thad Lewis. Pocket collapsing. Lewis throws deep. He's got Graham wide open. He bobbles it. Does he make the catch? Yes, he made the catch at the 20. That's the ruling on the field. That's more than enough for a first down, a 30-yard pickup. So Dan Carpenter, who spent 5 good years here, including a Pro Bowl appearance as the kicker for the Dolphins, in to attempt a 39-yarder from the left hash. Snap is good. The kick is up, and the kick is good. That is key. Dan Carpenter, 13 consecutive field goals now. That one a 39-yarder. And the Bills were up by 10 points, 17-7. Late first half, Miami with the football. They have it second down and 10 from their own 25. Tannehill standing in the pocket. Pocket collapsing. Heaves it downfield looking for Wallace, and he's got him at the Buffalo 40. And he's dragged down by Gilmore at the Buffalo 30-yard line. 34 seconds left in this first half. Second and 10 from the Buffalo 29. The snap. Tannehill pats it, throws it, looking for Gibson. He goes up and does not come. Yes, he does come down with it. They rule it a catch at the Buffalo 13-yard line. A 16-yard pickup and another Miami first down. Tannehill ready to go. Takes a shotgun snap. Looks to his left. Steps up. Fires short. It is caught by Gibson trying to dive into the end zone. Hurdles the tackler. He's in. Touchdown, Miami. Brandon Gibson with a spectacular leap into the end zone for the Dolphins. So the Dolphins head to the locker room at halftime, trailing the Buffalo Bills at that point. Third quarter, Bills got the ball off the second half kickoff and go three and out. Miami takes over from their own 34-yard line. Tannehill under center, takes the snap, 7-step drop, fires down the right seam or left seam, and it is caught by Hartline, and Hartline is spun forward for a first down. Aaron Williams brought him down up at the 49-yard line. Third and a long one for Miami from the Buffalo 42. Backs offset I formation, the snap, and they pitch it right side, and they've got room for Daniel Thomas inside the Buffalo 40. That's the first down, breaks Leonard's tackle, gets inside the 30, and he is brought down at the Buffalo 26-yard line. It is third and goal from the 4. Takes the snap, looks into the end zone, cocks his arm. Now he's pressured, rolls right, still looking, fires, touchdown. He found Brandon Gibson, who finally shook free, touchdown Miami. A 4-yard pass from Tannehill to Gibson. Gibson's second touchdown of the game. Dolphins take the lead for the first time, 21-17, an 11-play scoring drive that took more than 8 minutes off the clock. But the Bills would counter. They'd get the ball back again later on in the third quarter. They looked at a long third down, a third and 11 play coming up, and they made a big play on third down as Thad Lewis hooked up with Stevie Johnson. We're going to call that one the UPS Store's delivery of the game. Visit the UPS Stores of Western New York, your one-stop shop for all your small business needs. For locations, visit theupsstore.com. Third and 11, Bills with the ball at their own 35. The snap, third down play. Lewis hanging as long as he can in the pocket, fires downfield, caught by Stevie Johnson, and he is brought down at the 48-yard line of the Miami Dolphins. A first down and a flag in the backfield.
Personal foul, roughing the passer, contact the quarterback helmet. 15-yard penalty, first down.
What a play by Thad Lewis to hang in the pocket that long. Second and 4. Bills are going to throw it from the Miami 27. Lewis fires a strike left side, caught by Robert Woods, and he's brought down at the 15-yard line. 20-yard field goal attempt for Dan Carpenter, the former Dolphin, from the left hash. Bills will try to make it a one-point game. The snap, a little bobbled. Mormon handles it. The kick is up and good. Great job by Brian Mormon to handle that snap. Oh, my goodness. 21-20, Bills trail. It was a great job by Brian Mormon. The snap was off target. Mormon, with his quick hands, able to pick it up, knock it down, or set it down, and Carpenter knocked it through. Bills down by 1 point now. Fourth quarter, 7 minutes left to play. Miami with a football, second and 8 at the Buffalo 43-yard line. Tannehill looks over the Buffalo defense, working under center. The snap, again, 3-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield. Nobody saw him coming. Mario Williams greeted Ryan Tannehill with a huge sack. Third and 13. Tannehill going to go shotgun here. The snap. Here comes the blitz. Tannehill dumps it off short. They've got him wrapped up, and they bring him down. Daniel Thomas wrapped up by Kiko. Kiko Alonso. They shot the, I think it was Jerry Hughes coming off the edge. He had to get rid of it, and Kiko Alonso was right there to bring him down.
A couple of big defensive plays out near midfield. Now we're down to 5:42 left. The Bills go three and out. Dolphins get the ball back again with a good field position. They had second and eight from midfield with just under 3 minutes to play.
Tannehill's going to throw it. He is pressured. The ball comes out. It's a loose ball. It is jumped down by Kyle Williams at the 35-yard line. Oh, what a break for the Bills. What a break for the Bills. Kyle Williams recovers the fumble at the Miami 35-yard line.
Obviously, we definitely needed to get the ball back in good field position. So, you know, when I came through, I realized I had a shot on. And I was like, there's the ball. So, you know, I just went for the ball, got it out. Kyle got on it. You know, just so you guys know, Kyle meant to fall on it. He wasn't trying to pick it up. He really wasn't. He meant to fall on it, and it was actually the best thing for us because, you know, it allowed us to run clock out and get us in a better position.
Mario Williams with a huge play, the strip sack, forcing the fumble. Kyle Williams recovers. Williams' second sack of the game. He is our Advanced Alarm Defensive Player of the Game. Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. So the Bills were trailing 21-20. They get the ball back again with a couple of minutes to play, moving into field goal range. But first, they needed to convert a third down. They had a third and four at the Dolphins' 28-yard line.
They pitch it back. Brent Jackson bounces off the pile, heads forward, got the first down. He's down at the 18-yard line. What a run by Fred Jackson. 10 yards over the right side. Carpenter is ready. Mormon kneeling down, waiting for the snap. A 31-yard attempt from the left hash. The ball is down. The kick is on the way, and the kick is good. And the Bills get the lead back again.
So Carpenter's field goal puts the Bills up by two. The Dolphins would get another chance, though, after a 44-yard kickoff return by Marcus Thigpen. They start a drive at their own 46. Four plays from there. Here's the last one. Miami 4th and 10 from their own 46-yard line.
Ryan Tannehill, pocket collapsing. He is wrapped up, and he gets up on his feet. He runs to his right. He looks downfield. He heaves it downfield into the end zone. A cluster of players there. It is incomplete, and the game is over. Incomplete in the end zone. The Buffalo Bills with a fourth-quarter comeback, and it's Dan Carpenter, the former Dolphin, who wins it. Oh, my goodness, what a finish, what a win.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we found a way to win on the road. Guys have been toughing it out. And I think for our players, we just went out there and, you know, tried to think, play each play, play by play, and believe in each other. And that's what happened today. I mean, you know, there were times where, you know, we go on offense, we don't get a first down before the half, we give them the ball, they go 75 yards and score. You know, and you can look about it and you can, you know, place blame. But the one thing great about this game is, you know, when you play well as a team, you have a chance to win.
And when they did, the Buffalo Bills with their third victory of the season, a win over the Miami Dolphins in Miami by a final score of 23-21. That's our game rewind for this week. Coming up in just a moment here on the show, Dan Carpenter, the kicker who won it with a couple of fourth-quarter field goals, the former Dolphins kicker winning games now for the Buffalo Bills. Dan Carpenter up next, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Carpenter is ready. A 31-yard attempt from the left hash. The ball is down, the kick is on the way, and the kick is good. And the game is over. The Buffalo Bills with a fourth quarter comeback. And it's Dan Carpenter, the former Dolphin, who wins it.
Sounds a lot more dramatic when you put the entire end of the game up next to your field goal. Maybe that's the way it will be remembered. 33 seconds. There was some stuff going on in that 33 seconds, but a huge kick, a big kick for you. Do you feel pressure? Do you think about the consequences of kicks when you get out there to kick a field goal like that?
You know, the consequences are big on any field goal, you know, whether, you know, it's one in the first quarter or the game winner at the end. You know, they all count the same. They're all worth 3 points. So, their points are so hard to come by in this league that, you know, every opportunity you get to put points on the board is a big opportunity.
Dan Carpenter joins us in studio, the Bills kicker. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. I know you downplayed it last Thursday when I talked to you, and I know after the game you did as well. Returning to Miami, you're trying to make everybody believe, did not mean that much to you?
I mean, it's important, and it means a lot because it's a game winner, you know, and yeah. Anything I can do to help the team win, you know, I'm going to give it my 100%, you know, to help us get a win. So, you know, it was important in that way. it wasn't any kind of trying to stick it back to the Dolphins or anything like that. You know, it's like I said all week, you know, I haven't had any hard feelings about what happened. You know, I understand that, you know, the, this league is a business as well. And so, you know, I'm happy to be in Buffalo. You know, I've been greeted with open arms up here and everyone's been great. And, you know, I'm just excited to continue on this season and see where it heads.
Yep. I promise this is the last question I'll ask about sticking it to Miami. Nobody likes to be fired. Nobody likes to be let go. You claimed, and you, when we talked Thursday, you said you got a fair shot at training camp to hold on to the job. There's not a little bit of you that thinks, good, I'm glad I played well, and the team that thought I wasn't good enough.
Well, I'm glad I played well because, you know, this whole season I want to play well. You know, I want to show everyone that I can still kick the football and still do my job at a high level.
And that's it.
That, you know,
okay.
Everyone in this league is there's not too many guys that get to leave this league on their own terms. So everyone either gets cut or released or, you know, fired, however you want to put it. You know, it's usually not on your own terms. So, you know, I was grateful to play there for 5 years. I'm excited about, you know, what this season holds and, you know, what the future holds from there.
Dan Carpenter, Bills kicker in studio with us, talking about that game a little bit. The earlier field goal, and we were talking about this off air, it appeared that the snap was a little offline, and I thought Brian Moorman did a really good job of handling the snap quickly and getting it in place for you.
Yeah, you know, obviously Garrison, the snapper, wasn't real happy with it, but, you know, Brian said it wasn't as bad as everyone thought it was. You know, maybe that's just 13 years of experience talking there. So, you know, it's great to have some veteran guys out there as well to, you know, make my job easier.
And you have had to adjust to Brian over the last couple of weeks. It seems like it's been a pretty seamless transition with Brian as your holder.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, experience is something it's kind of hard to find in this league at times. So, you know, when you got a guy that's done it for, you know, double digit years in this league, it's something special.
I know you talked about this in the post game yesterday, the go ahead field goal with 33 seconds left and the kickoff that followed. You weren't happy with the way you hit it, obviously.
No,
that wasn't,
you know,
the plan, by the way, right?
No, you know, obviously, like I said, after the game, the ball been flying pretty well that way, in that stadium, it usually does. And, you know, I just was really disgusted with myself that I gave them an opportunity to return. You know, obviously, Thigpen there for them he's a great returner, you know, has been for a couple of years now here. And so, you know, it was something I wasn't happy with, giving him an opportunity, especially in that situation in the game. You know, and fortunately enough for our team, you know, our defense went out and got off the field and won us the game.
Did you get in on the tackle on Thigpen?
You know, I wanted to do everything I could to get him down on the ground because I did not want the game to end that way. But I got a pretty good shot on him, and to his credit, he kind of caught his balance and kept going. But I guess it was enough to slow him down for the rest of the pursuit to catch up.
Did that kickoff, the fact that you didn't hit it the way you wanted, did that alter your enjoyment about really what went down, winning the game, you contributing as much as you did? I mean, did that make it less enjoyable for you?
Yeah, I mean, I really felt like that was the one bad ball that I had all day, you know, on all my kickoffs and field goals and everything. You know, it was not, you know, it definitely puts a little damper on it, you know, but, you know, I'm definitely my harshest critic. So, you know, I'll look at it here on film and see if I can figure out what happened, but, you know, it's just something I can't do and put our team in a situation like that.
And Dan, my broadcast partner on the play-by-play, Mark Kelso, tells me I shouldn't mention the fact that you have this streak going, that it's kind of like you never mention a no-hitter when the pitcher's in the middle of a no-hitter.
That's right.
It is, I'm going to say it, 15 consecutive field goals now. Have you ever been in a groove like this?
Yeah, I can't remember back. You know, to be a good kicker in this league, you know, you're going to go through streaks where you make a few in a row. You know, it's just kind of, you know, if you're going to be at 80%, you got to make 8 out of 10, and that's just, you know, how it goes. So, you know, you're giving me a hard time earlier in the week because I think it was, what, 12 at that point,
yes.
And you were asking me if I, you know, believed in jinxes, and
yes.
Then you asked me, you know, told me that I had made 12 in a row and told me not to hold it against you.
Right.
So I guess, you know, It worked out so far. You know, it's like I said, though, too, you know, it doesn't matter if you make 30 in a row or 10 in a row. You know, at some point in between there, you know, you're going to miss one. And whether you want to consider that a jinx for the last person who said you'd made it in a row or not, I guess just don't be the last one to say it before somebody, I miss them.
Last question for you. If you had a chance, you know, to catch your breath when you think about, you know, late August, early September, you're released by Miami, you go to Arizona, you go to the Jets, you come here to the Bills. And I think at the time, nobody knew how long you'd play, whether Dustin Hopkins would be back the next week or whatever. Have you had a chance to catch your breath and think, this kind of worked out as I look back on this?
Yeah, you know, it's been crazy. It still is pretty crazy. Yeah. You know, thinking back, obviously, a wife and I having our first kid. Yeah. You know, getting cut from the Dolphins and then, you know, having our first boy and then going on, you know, going out to Arizona for a couple of days, playing in one preseason game, coming home, you know, home less than 24 hours, back on the plane to, you know, New York for the Jets for a preseason game, you know, leaving there the next day. And it was so up and down. You know, I felt like I had a great opportunity everywhere I went, but, you know, it just didn't work out. So ended up in Buffalo. You know, it's obviously it's an unfortunate thing with an injury to have to take over, but you know, it's a great situation. You know, it's a great opportunity for me, and a great situation for Dustin to, you know, take the season and get healthy and get ready for next year.
Dan, thanks. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on the kicks. Thanks for coming in here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Dan Carpenter, Bills kicker, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The Monday John Murphy Show from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We're back tonight, 7 o'clock until 8, before the Giants-Vikings Monday night football game. And tomorrow night, we're going to be live from NOCO Express, the brand-new NOCO Express in French Road and Campbell Boulevard in Gatesville. C.J. Spiller will be there as well tomorrow night. Buffalo Jills will be there. Make sure you join us out there. Hey, Bills fans, your voice counts this season. Don't forget to vote for the Bills Player of the Week, powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Buffalo Bills. Voting is open, and it's open the morning after every Bills game. The winning player will be announced here on the John Murphy Show tomorrow night. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com, POTW, or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. And if you click on the battery at the bottom of the webpage and fill out the information, you're eligible to win exclusive Bills giveaways and prizes throughout the season. The Blue Rock Energy Player of the Game, you can vote right now at BlueRockEnergy.com. We've got phone lines open a couple of minutes here. Coming up next hour, Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com will join us to review what went down yesterday. Joe Biscaglia, our sideline reporter from the Bills Radio Network, will join us at 11:30. And you're welcome to join us, too. Your thoughts on yesterday's game. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A question in the first 15 minutes or so of the show about Stephon Gilmore and playing Stephon Gilmore with the cast on his wrist, the broken wrist. Gilmore spoke moments ago to the media in the Buffalo locker room, and here's what he said about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was easy. I think I got used to it practicing last week and practicing this week, so it was very easy.
Is it something that you're going to get off soon, or are we looking at more weeks with you having to play one and a half handed?
Hopefully I get it off soon. I mean, I don't know. I'm just listening to the doctors. They're just trying to protect me. So, I mean, I'm just trying to get out there and do whatever I can to help the team out.
How much are you having to relearn how to play the position a little bit this way?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually, I think it's helping me out in a way of when I get it off. I think it's helping my game be on another level. So I think I'm learning a lot playing with it on.
In what way? Is it, you know, do you have to play more with your legs, in other words?
Yeah, I got to use my legs more. I can't really use my hands like I want to. So I got to really win with my feet. So I think that's helping my game a lot.
It seemed like pre-snap you were kind of almost staggering your stance a little bit. Mm-hmm. Is that because you're technically playing one-armed or no?
Not really. I mean, I did it when I didn't have it on. It's something that I always kind of did playing. And like I said, I just got to mix it up a little bit and I think I'm getting my hands on them, but I can't really get them like I really want to. So, but like I said, I'm just trying to do whatever I can to help this team win.
You feel like you're going to be like a new man when that thing comes off and you can use it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely, like I said, I'm learning a lot as I'm playing with it, and I think it'll help my game out a lot.
How does it feel? How does your wrist feel? I mean, does it feel like it's getting stronger week to week?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, it actually feels normal right now, but the trainers know more than what I know. They look at the x-rays and stuff like that, so I'm just listening to them.
Cornerback Stephon Gilmore in the Buffalo locker room moments ago, and again, no clues there as to when that cast might come off, but as you heard Stephon say right off the top, he feels like he's playing okay with it, and who's to argue? A couple of tweets we want to mention. Jeff Rozek tweets, and can you explain second, third string quarterback situation? Seems backwards. The Bills are playing third string, or that Thad wasn't second string. I mean, right now, Thad is first string. it's not very hard to figure out. EJ comes back. I'm assuming he's going to step in and play, and Thad Lewis will be the backup, and Jeff Tue will be the third. And as Coach Marone said, when they signed Thad Lewis or elevated Thad Lewis a couple of weeks ago to the position of starter, they really did not want to be in the situation. They never considered Jeff Tue the real backup. They were in a bind because of roster considerations, injuries to the kicker, for example, injuries in the defensive backfield, that they couldn't add a third quarterback to the roster. I think that's been explained. And Rob Rowland tweets in, any chance we see Flynn under center after Lewis' weak performance? I don't think it was a weak performance. I think it was up and down. I think it was obviously good enough to win. I'd be surprised if we saw Matt Flynn under center this week, but we'll see moving forward. I mean, what they're really doing is waiting for E.J. Manuel to come back. All right, your thoughts on the game when we return. Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com will join us as well. The numbers, the lines are open if you want to get in right now. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. I think it's the most significant of the first three Bills victories this season. What do you think? Give us a call. Let us know. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Flash Goodwin! Touchdown!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Buffalo ball! Kiko Alonso picks up the tip pass for the interception.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Brought to you by Northwest Savings Bank. It's time to make the switch to Northwest. Jan's Smoke Shops, hitting you between the uprights, now open 24 hours. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills, reminds you, healthy changes everything.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the two-hour Monday morning John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. A one-hour show, some of the highlights from this show and some updates, and take you right into Monday Night Football with the Vikings and the Giants. Monday morning, John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. And on these Mondays, we like to bring into the studio for a regular visit the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, Chris Brown. And Chris appears courtesy of Ilio DiPaolo's restaurant for lunch, dinner, or takeout. It's a Buffalo Bills tradition since 1965. Visit him after the game, 3785 South Park Avenue in Blaisdell. You're brought to us by Ilios. I just decided.
Did you see those portobello mushrooms underneath the chicken
last week?
Holy cow. I didn't even know you could do that.
You're a great spokesman for Ilios. I love this.
I'm a foodie, though, so it's easy for me.
Chris is courtesy of Ilios. Hey, Chris, I made the point right off the top of the show an hour ago, and there's not a big sample to choose from, but of the three Buffalo victories this year, I think yesterday was the most significant for a variety of reasons, to win on the road, to win in the division, to win in that oppressive heat, to come from behind, to have the, you know, Thad Lewis, probably, you know, second or third on your depth chart, engineer a victory in whatever way he could. I think it's the most significant of the three, including the win over the defending Super Bowl champions.
I would probably go along with that because of these two reasons. Number one, I think it goes the longest in terms of the mental psyche of this team so far with the wins that they've had. And number two, when you look at what lies in front of them, a one-loss New Orleans team and an undefeated Kansas City team, holy cow, it's a good thing you got this one.
Yeah.
I mean, and 3-4, how much better does that sound than 2-5?
Right.
You know, you're almost at midseason, and yeah, you got four losses. That's not great. But in this division, you're still in the hunt right now. Because you handed Miami, that was Miami's first division game yesterday, and you've put them 0-1. Yeah. So that helps. And the Jets did you a favor yesterday,
yeah,
with some help from the officials.
And it, as game, if you're in contention, which, you know, the Bills, are obviously contention is kind of tough to, right, to handle. But if you get in contention as the season moves along, the games become more important, which makes that, I think, more important than the Baltimore win. I really do.
Right. And the tail end of the schedule for Buffalo is relatively favorable, especially, yep, the last three of the last four games that they have this season. So if you can hover around 500, game below, game above 500, somewhere in there, and you can rattle off three wins at the end, I mean, who knows how muddled this picture could be, particularly in the AFC East here, where I think the way the division is currently constituted, it's ripe for them to beat up on one another. I think this, yeah, New England team is really vulnerable now, especially with some of the injuries they incurred on the defensive side of the ball the last couple of weeks. I really think this is a division ripe for people beating each other up. And so you may have, you know, some 8-8 records there and some 7-9s that, you know, might be in the hunt for a division title here. Yeah. I mean, New England's out in front still right now, but I think they're going to come back to the rest of the pack here.
I think you might be right. Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com, in studio with us. Phone line's open. If you have comments or questions for Chris, 803-0550 or toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Carl in Clarence. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to respond to that knucklehead who's suggesting that starting Flynn in the light of Dad's so-so performance as a 9-point underdog on the road in 80-degree temperatures. Can you just imagine what that would do to this kid's psyche?
Yeah, and although that's not the, you know, your primary concern, beyond that, I think yesterday they found a way to win with Thad Lewis at quarterback, and he wasn't perfect. The the guy who tweeted it in, he called it a weak performance. I don't think Thad Lewis was weak yesterday. I think he was up and down. I think he made a great throw on the pass to Stevie, and you know that kept that drive going. That's why I saw Carl.
It wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't pretty, but pretty counts for nothing in this league. It's all about W's.
Yeah.
And this kid's a work in progress. This is the whole team. And I think the Bills pulled off a minor miracle. I really do. I think they're going to be congratulated. All right. I got that off my chest. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
Murph, Carl. And I were talking about this yesterday on the plane ride home. You know, you think about Thad as, I mean, he's really a find for them. I mean, this guy, if he can kind of make some progress in the next few starts that he does have, you know, and show himself to be a competent guy that is capable of getting you through a 3 or 4 week injury to your starter, you may have your future backup quarterback on this roster already, looking ahead to next year and the year after, don't you think?
I do. I think he's playing his way onto this roster or somebody's roster as a backup, which is probably, you know, where he belongs in this league, if he continues to progress.
And the thing that I was most impressed with, where I think he did take a step yesterday, was with the third and longs.
Yeah.
Because I thought Miami's pass pressure was far more effective than Cincinnati's was a week ago.
I agree.
And he still was able to make some plays and move the sticks. I mean, you talk about the shot he took on the third down conversion to Stevie. Holy cow. I mean, people thought his head was inside the helmet. It flew off so fast.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said today in the locker room, I saw the rush coming, but I saw Stevie in man coverage. I expected him to win. He did. And I knew I was going to have to sacrifice my body so we could get a first down. That's the kind of guy you want at quarterback.
Yeah.
You want a guy willing to take a shot in the teeth just to get you a first down. We're not even talking about winning the game here. We're talking about just getting you a first down in a tough spot. And he's willing to stand in there and do that. What that does for the mental psyche of the other 10 guys on offense, holy cow. You want to talk about lifting the level of play in the guys around you? When you're willing to take a hit like that just to get your team a first down and keep a drive alive, that goes miles. It goes miles in the minds of the other players on offense.
Would you agree with me, Chris, that Thad Lewis got better at that as yesterday's game went along? I thought early on in the game yesterday, he was dumping off, taking the check down, wasn't really looking to force the issue downfield.
Right. I would agree with that. And even late in the game, there were times where, and I asked him about this after he finished interviewing here in the locker room. I stayed for an extra question today, and I said, hey, talk to me about throwing short of the sticks, because I know just from the feedback and the blowback I was getting on Twitter yesterday that they were going nuts about how often he was throwing short of the sticks and they were coming up a yard short, not converting and having to punt. And he said, look, I have downfield reads. And when those guys are covered, it's not smart for me to force it because it's usually going to wind up being a turnover. It's better for me to throw to a guy on my next read, second, third read, throw short of the sticks, see if he can make a guy miss and maybe get a first down. If not, we punt the ball away. It's better to play that way for field position and live another day rather than commit the turnover. Fighting for, you know, living for another series and winning field position is better than turning the ball over and giving my defense bad field position. And are there times where you got to take a chance and try to stick it in there? Yeah. And I thought that his decision-making in those situations was pretty good. Yeah, are we all ticked when he can't convert and they got to kick it away? Of course. But I think you got to look big picture. And I thought Thad, in the decisions he had to make on a lot of those third downs, more often than not made the right decision, taking a check down, and then made good decisions on third and longs to convert.
And Chris, implicit in all of this is the fact that I believe that Thad gets through his reads quickly. There's decisiveness there. I mean, he really does make quick reads, and you know, there have been very few times when Thad has been trapped back there, you know, staring down a receiver, waiting for somebody to come open. He gets through the reads quickly, which is a skill, it's a talent.
I think, yeah, and I think what he did when you were talking about getting better as the game went on, I thought he got a better feel on third and long for just how much time he was going to have. Early on, he was taking some hits, took some sacks again this week. But as the game wore on, I think he had his internal clock was completely in sync with how much time Miami was giving him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what led to some of those improbable third and longs. I mean, the third and 17 to TJ Graham, I mean, he didn't even win on the route yet. And he had the ball out of his hand, and it's a 30-yard pass play. I mean, that's a gigantic play in the game.
Yep. Chris Brown, our guest, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive, and the phone lines are open for comments and questions, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Anthony in Niagara Falls, you're on the air, Anthony.
Hey, guys, just calling, wanted to touch on special team coverage units. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the game yesterday. I think it was great. They found a way to win, and that's not been the case previously over the last great number of years, so I'm very happy about that. But there's got to be some obvious concern with 2 weeks in a row, our kickoff and our punt coverage units really almost cost us the game back yesterday, and I feel really did cost us the game in overtime against Cincinnati last week. And I'm just wondering what your take is and if the coaching staff are somewhat concerned going forward, or if you know anything, or just what your take is really.
Are you referring specifically, Anthony, to the fourth quarter late game kickoff? Because Dan Carpenter was just in here and mentioned again, and he did it in the locker room yesterday, that he mishit the kick. That was not the plan. That Chris, if that's what he's referring to, you know, that
right.
And Carpenter basically took the hit on that.
I'm going to paint the picture for you, okay?
Yes.
Brian Moorman yesterday, all right? The guy punts. He has a 41-yard net, which is an excellent figure, drops one inside the 20, has a 62-yarder for a long, and you look at the punt returns of Marcus Thigpen, who, by the way, is an accomplished returner, okay? He puts one out of bounds, one touchback, and Thigpen has to fair catch one of his four returns. He has four returns for 11 yards on punts, okay? That's a win there, okay? Hold on. You had your turn. I'm going to have mine. That's 2.8 average there, punt return. That's a good day. That's a very good day for the punt coverage unit, okay? Kick returns. There's six of them in the game that Carpenter kicks off. Four go for touchbacks, not even returned. When he first got here, his touchback percentage was horrible. It was under 50%. In the last 3 weeks, he's got it up around 70, which is anything over 50% is very good, especially once you get into the later months of the season. He's at about 70% over the last three games. He mishits the last kick, and that leads to a 44-yard return. Before that, Thigpen has one return for 15 yards, okay? It's one bad play in the game. Does it almost cost him? Yes. Can you have those mistakes? No. On the whole, it was a good day yesterday. He mishits one kick, and it only takes one mistake. I'm not going to deny that for a second. But on the whole, it was one of their better days in terms of kick and punt coverage.
Let's go to Art on his cell phone. Hi, Art. You're on the air.
Yeah, John. I got a question. I know he's a good player and all, but why is Gilmore still out there with that club on his hand? I think he's more of a liability in that defensive cornerback role.
I don't think he is. We talked about this first hour. I do not think he's a liability. I don't think, obviously, he's not 100% and not able to make plays that he would make, but I don't view him as a liability, Chris. I don't think so at all.
And I think you have to credit the defensive staff here. I think they've done a good job of minimizing the risk. And what I mean by that is when there are obvious rundowns, they're taking him off the field, knowing he's essentially a one-arm player, and to support the run on the edge with one arm is a difficult thing. And so what they've done is they've put Aaron Williams out there at corner on obvious rundowns, and when there's more obvious passing down situations, they bring Gilmore back on the field, knowing he's a guy that can better turn and run with receivers. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you can mitigate the risk, I think it's worth putting him out there, because when he does get that club off, he's played two games. Now you have Stephon Gilmore at his absolute best.
We played the clip from the locker room. You were in on that scrum an hour or so ago with Stephon Gilmore. There's really no indication on when that club comes off yet, right?
Well, I talked to him about this last Thursday. I said, look, what are we looking at here with the club? What is the problem with the wrist that still necessitates the need to wrap this thing up? He said, one problem is it's still weak. It's not strong. The second problem is his range of motion. He has limited range of motion and rotation in that wrist. So he can't use it like most people do, especially physical cornerbacks when you're trying to jam a guy at the line. So without that proper range of motion, if you play with it without a wrap on it, and it experiences a range of motion that it's not ready to experience, you're going to have a major setback, and he's going to be off the field again. If he falls on it without that thing being wrapped up in an awkward way, another setback, he's off the field. I respect the fans' opinion here, because you're saying, well, let's just let him get healthy, and you know, we got enough healthy guys back there, let's just let it get healthy. I think there's an argument to be made there. I think it's a valid point to make, but I think if you want Stephon at his absolute best when the club actually does come off, I think you have to be sprinkling him in here in these games to give him the exposure back. Otherwise, he's 12 weeks without having played, and then to come up, ask him to come on the field and be the Stephon Gilmore that we all want and expect, I think it's unfair.
Let's go to Paul in Cheektowaga. Paul, you're on the air with Chris Brown from BuffaloBills.com.
What is going on, Chris? What's going on, Big Murph?
Good morning.
Nothing. How are you? Listen, I guess New England's playing Cincinnati next week, so that's Tom Brady goes down by the big Samoan warrior, hopefully. He gets
they
taken out.
They played Cincinnati,
and,
right?
Is Miami playing the Jets also?
No, Miami's playing New England this week. Miami's going up to New England. The Patriots already played Cincinnati and lost.
Oh, dang, man. my bad. Yesterday was a long day. I was at the Ralph. I was one of the maniacs screaming.
Yesterday.
But anyway,
this guy's living in week five.
Okay, let's go to Jake in Buffalo. He's living in week five. Hey. Hi, Jake. Okay. How are you?
good, thanks. Hey, Fred Lewis. I don't know about you guys, but on his Anfield, he reminds me an awful lot of Drew Brees. What do you think?
You might be getting a little ahead of yourself.
Wait. I realize it's only two games, but just the way he carries himself and his release with the ball, he does remind me an awful lot of Brees.
Well, I mean, he's a shorter quarterback, so I guess in terms of stature, I'll give you that.
Brees has some serious arm talent.
Brees,
I don't think that Lewis approaches.
Brees is elite. I mean, elite. I mean, top two, three quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
And we're going to see it next week. I'm terribly afraid to tell you.
Yeah,
but all I'm going to say is this. With Drew Brees, watch the way he extends the play. He doesn't extend the play by running out in a mad scramble somewhere, setting his feet and throwing. He'll just take a couple of steps to his right, a couple of steps to his left. And his ability to do that, locate the receiver, and then ball accuracy, him and Tom Brady, ball accuracy, that's the top.
Yep.
And then it's everybody else. I don't care. You can throw Peyton Manning. I don't think his arm's the same, so I don't think his ball accuracy is what it used to be. Brees and Brady, ball accuracy, whether it's on the move, 40 yards downfield, 10 yards underneath, unmatched.
Okay, he's only got a couple games under his belt, so I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But one more thing, quickly, New England should have another loss
because I don't know if anybody even realized this, but last week that touchdown pass at the end, his left tackle was holding the guy. Take a look at it. Should have been a call on that play. It got away with one.
Yeah. Happens every week.
Thanks very much for your call. Jake, Chris Brown, a couple of minutes left with him. He's in studio with us, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. The lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You said Fred Jackson talked in the locker room this morning about his physical status. Where is he?
He called it a setback based on what happened yesterday. So, obviously, he's not feeling so hot today, but he still maintained that he thinks he'll be okay to, you know, strap it up and play again on Sunday against the Saints down there. So, you know, I think the one good thing for him is at least you know the field conditions aren't going to be a detriment to the knee, because I was worried yesterday that, you know, the skies are going to open up late in that game. You got a wet field. That's horrible for footing. And when you got a bad knee to begin with, that doesn't feel good. So knowing that that's not going to be an issue playing in a dome next week, at least he's got that going for him.
We had a caller in the first hour who brought up something which I would not rule out, the possibility that maybe if they can, the Bills shut down C.J. Spiller for a week to get him healthy. It'd be a lot easier to do if Fred Jackson were 100%, right?
Yeah, and that's the rub. I mean, that's really the problem there, because if you have 100% healthy Fred Jackson, you know you got Tashard Choice in reserve. So you say, all right, C.J., why don't we just shut it down this week, get it all the way right, because his whole game is burst and explosion. And when you can't cut and drive off, when he can't stick that foot in the ground and drive off of it, and I think the perfect example of that we saw yesterday – he gets that handoff, and the penetration is impressive by Miami. It forces him to reroute the run. He's got to take it wide, and he doesn't have the option going wide to his left to stick his left foot in the ground and then cut inside of a pursuer. Instead, he's got to race him to the corner, and the defenders already seem to know that. This, you know, he can't cut effectively off his left foot, so let's just string the play out and ride him out of bounds. It's taking his options away as a back.
A call from Tom in West Seneca. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. With Lewis, Thad Lewis holding his own, let's say he can eke out three or four more wins before EJ comes back. Do you think the Bills staff would consider shutting EJ down for the year and almost having serve as a redshirt year?
No.
No.
Okay. No. The reason why is because time on the field is the most valuable educational tool they have at their disposal for E.J. Manuel. So they got to get him on the field as much as possible.
For long-term considerations, not just this year.
Yeah, I mean, let's just think about it this way. What did he miss? Two preseason games? So he missed two preseason games to get, you know, arguably he wouldn't have got much time in the season finale, but he missed two preseason games, so missed that experience, missed 2 weeks of training camp, missed that experience, and, you know, now he's going to miss four or five games, probably when all is said and done here in this stretch of the season. That's a lot of time on the field that he's missing. I mean, what is that, 60 times? It's like 300 snaps in NFL regular season action that he's not going to get. I mean, that's big-time experience you're missing out on. I mean, you can make the argument after missing five games this year, two preseason games, that he's not going to be a fully experienced first-year player in the league come next season. That's a lot of growth you're missing out on.
That's a setback if he doesn't get – he's not going to get a full year. But to get, you know, eight, nine games, you'd
like
to have more.
They got to get back on the field. That's the most important thing, and, you know, you got to do it. He's got to get snaps.
Call from Brian in Hamburg. Brian, hello. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Great game yesterday. I got a question. Did Aaron Williams' interception in the end zone? I mean, he clearly was in the end zone, and the defender threw him out to get tackled at the one. We should have got that ball in the 20, not the one.
I haven't had a chance to look at that.
Well, the way I saw it, I mean, it was actually at our end where we sit in the press box.
You were down.
The way I saw it was he did have 1 foot behind the goal line when he caught it, and Aaron was trying to return it. Because I even talked to him after the game, and he was telling me it should have been six. I was like, all right, hold on now, Aaron. I don't know about that. I don't know if you were going 100 yards and taking it for a touchdown. There was a lot of guys out on the field. But he was making an effort. That confirmed to me that he was making an effort to get out of the end zone. Now, the guy also tackled him, and he did throw him forward out of the end zone also. But that's a referee honoring the player's forward progress. And he did clear the plane of the goal line. So once that happened, you know, whether Aaron intends to or not, that's where they're going to spot the football. at the end of the play. I mean, it's just the way it's going to be. If he took a knee, it's a different story. But once he started lurching forward and trying to gain yardage, I think that ruled touchback out completely.
Here's an interesting, before we let you go, Chris, an interesting question looking forward to the Saints game, tweeted in from Rob Rowland. Our greatest weapon against the Saints next week, Doug Marrone's knowledge of Sean Payton. Do you agree? I got to think about that. I don't know if I'm ready to agree with that. Our greatest weapon.
I don't know that it matters, and this is why. And Doug even addressed this last week because we were talking to him about teams coming off the bye week, which New Orleans conveniently is going into this game with the Bills. And don't get me on that again. But here's the thing. He said last week, and I'm with him 100% on this, when you have teams with mixed records, wins and losses, you're not really certain as to what they're going to do. And Miami was a perfect example. They were throwing the ball 70% of the time. You're 28th against the run. They might run more against us. They ended up doing that.
Yeah.
Against a team that's got a one loss and, what, five wins? Were they 5-1? Those teams are going to do what they always do because they're good at it.
Right.
And that's the situation with the Saints. Even though Doug Marrone may have a semblance of an idea as to what might be coming, I don't know that it's going to matter because the execution of the Saints is so sound that even if you know what's coming, more often than not, they're still going to be able to execute it. And I'm talking about the offense there, obviously.
Chris, good stuff. Thanks.
All right.
Chris Brown, lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com in studio with us. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And the votes are in for this week's Bills Gating Fans of the Week presented by Salins. This week's prize pack winner is Ron Cooper. When you're tailgating or watching the game this week, remember to take photos of your Salins-inspired tailgate. Upload them at BuffaloBills.com to enter the weekly contest. The winners, as voted by the fans, will be announced every week right here on our show. So get in the game for a chance to win the grand prize. Salins, official hot dog and deli meat of the Buffalo Bills. Ron Cooper, this week's winner. Joining us on the line right now, the man who patrols the sidelines for us on the Bills Radio Network, Joe Biscaglia. Joe, thanks for coming on the air with us on Monday again.
No problem, appreciate it. No problem.
Well, you stayed dry, and you survived the sun, and what do you know, the Bills won a road game. That was a pretty significant win yesterday, I thought, Joe.
Yeah, I think so, because certainly they haven't gotten a road win since Arizona from last year, and that's an awful long stretch. So getting that win over a division rival, I think that's definitely a step in the right direction for many different reasons. With this new head coaching staff and certainly a younger team trying to learn how to win just in general, not even on the road, but to do it on the road and to get one in the first half of the season, I think it's a good stepping stone for where they ultimately are trying to take this team.
Joe, from your sideline vantage point, give our listeners a sense of just how oppressive that heat and that Florida sun was yesterday afternoon.
Well, it was actually okay when there was some cloud coverage. I mean, that dropped from what it felt like, it dropped it down to, like, I don't know, 85 degrees or so, and that's manageable. But when the sun's beating down on the field and there's no breeze whatsoever, it feels like it's 100 degrees down there. I mean, I know I got sunburned pretty badly on my arms and on my face, but, I mean, this is, and I'm not even in shoulder pads and helmet and everything like that. You know, to play through that, it's definitely a challenge for a team. And I know the Bills were trying to help the team throughout the week with hydration and certainly kicking up the heat in the field house to like 85 or 88 degrees or something like that. But you cannot simulate the humidity because it was just, it felt soggy down there. Mm-hmm. And you can't simulate that. And you certainly can't simulate the sun beating down on you with those high of temperatures. So yeah, it was brutal down there.
The other thing you provide for us from your sideline vantage point, Joe, is a look at the injuries. And I got to tell you, first quarter when Fred Jackson got hurt and all the concern being shown and the cart pulls up, I had a bad feeling about that injury. How about you?
I thought his season was done, to be perfectly honest. But when I saw the cart roll out, or actually, I had a great vantage point of the injury itself, and Fred kind of shook off a last minute defender and just kind of gave like a little faux stiff arm. And as he was kind of ramping down along the sideline, Chandler kind of stumbled into his knee, and he immediately grabbed at the knee, went down like a ton of bricks. It looked really bad, and when he was able to pop up and refuse the cart, I mean, that just goes to show what type of guy Fred Jackson is, and he's been doing it his whole career. I remember last year, I think he suffered what we thought was a season-ending knee injury against the Jets in that first week of the season. And you know, he was down for, I think I saw him even shed a couple tears on the sideline because he thought his season was done. And then, you know, 2-3 weeks later, he's back playing against the Browns or whatever it was. So, yeah, I think the prevailing thought on Fred Jackson is he's a tough guy. He's certainly a leader in the locker room. And to see him go through not only that initial injury, but there was a time in the second quarter where he had to hobble off the field. I think he even hopped off the field because he couldn't put any pressure on that left leg again because he got the knee twisted. You know, it just goes to show what type of player he is.
Joe Buscaglia, our guest, the sideline reporter on our Bills radio broadcast. He was there on the sideline for the Bills and Dolphins yesterday. Going into the game, Joe, I think you and I talked about the opportunity for Mario Williams to have a big game. He did, made an impactful play. He's got 10 sacks, second in the league in sacks, on pace for 22 or 23 sacks. I would think the Bills are very happy with their investment in Mario Williams right about now.
Oh, yes. He has dominated two games so far in this season, and not coincidentally, those two games resulted in wins for the Bills. It was the Panthers game where I don't even think Byron Bell could get a good night of sleep after what Mario Williams did to him from that game. And then again, I thought heading into this game, the left tackle Jonathan Martin and the right tackle Tyson Klebo, both those guys have been very poor this season to put it lightly, and having Mario Williams be able to dominate the way he did, I think was certainly something that you could have expected. But for him to go out and do it, especially in a clutch moment to force that fumble on the second and eight, I think that just goes to show that he has that type of ability to do it. And now it's just having him become a dominant force throughout every game. And certainly six sacks in two games, that's certainly a great pair of games and a good sample size for what the Bills want him to do as the season progresses here.
Joe, thanks very much. Good work yesterday. We'll talk to you. Thank you.
Sounds great, Mark. Thanks.
Joe Buscaglia, sideline reporter on the Bills Radio Network. He joins us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway with a special offer for Bills fans. When the Bills score 20 points or more at home, go to BuffaloBills.com after all home games for details. Subway, eat fresh. John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We are live until noon today and then back on the air 7 until 8 o'clock tonight, preceding Monday Night Football. Some of the highlights of our morning show, plus updates from the afternoon here at One Bills Drive. Phone lines are open for your comments and questions, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's squeeze in a phone call, and we'll go to Brad in Pennsylvania. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
Hey, John. First, I want to thank you and Mark. I listen to you guys every week, and you guys do a great job.
Thanks.
Real good job. I have a question for you. We know Edge is the starter. I think Thad has proved to be a bona fide backup. With the situation at running back, of course, we got C.J. hobbled, Fred hobbled. Do you think there's a possibility that they do take that chance now with Jeff Toole, throw him down to the practice squad, understanding that we do have Thad as the backup, and he's been doing what a backup should. He got us a win. And do you think they might bring in another running back? I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, thanks, Brad. Interesting comment. I don't think so. I mean, you're right about the status of Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. I think they're going to try to nurse, my sense is, and we'll see as the week goes along about Fred Jackson, my sense is they're going to try to nurse Fred Jackson or C.J., who's ever best, through these injuries and get a heavy dose of Deshard Choice. I don't know that there's anybody out on the street they could acquire that would make an appreciable difference in what they want to do offensively. Even with the injuries at running back, they're a very productive running game, and they had some trouble running the ball yesterday, but still managed to get it done when they needed to, and they're fifth in the league in rushing yards per game. So even with the hobbled nature of C.J. and Fred Jackson, they're still getting it done on the ground, and it's pretty amazing they've been able to do it. Randy in Colorado. Hello, Randy. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I had just a comment and a question. You know, I thought Thad looked, you know, he didn't look great, but he was a 65% passer, and quite a few of those incompletions, he was being hit while he threw the ball. so I disagree with that one caller. And then I was wondering two questions. The play calling at the end of the first half, I mean, Buffalo could have probably ran the clock down or forced Miami to use their timeout. They passed it three times in a row. Miami gets a touchdown. And the other thing was Joe B. had an article in the spring about Buffalo's disadvantage compared to the rest of the league about playing teams off the Thursday or the bye. So I wanted to ask Joe, or maybe you remember, I mean, we're at a clear disadvantage. They need to do something to straighten that out. I don't care if you're the worst team or the best team. No one should be having five times that they have this disadvantage. What do you think of those two things?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Brown has written about this, too, at BuffaloBills.com. Back when the schedule came out, Chris made a point of pointing that out. It is not equitable. It is difficult. I will say this from the league standpoint, difficult to equalize that out. And when you have a team like the Buffalo Bills that has not recently played a lot of primetime games, I think you're going to get those situations against teams that do play more primetime games. With all the considerations that they have to factor in, you know, stadiums and home versus road, I think that playing teams off a bye is probably low on that list. Having said all that, I guess in the defense of the schedule makers, I know that it's something that has this team's attention, and they want to, you know, they want to call it to the attention for next year. They can't do anything about it this year, but they do want to call it to the attention of the league that there's that inequity, you know, playing, as you said, five teams with extra rest going into the game. The Bills, you know, had their Thursday night game, and they wound up with a loss after the Thursday night, the loss to the Bengals. They'll have their bye back down on November 24th, and then they go to Toronto to play Atlanta the game after that. So they get their breaks too, but it does appear that it's weighted against the Bills a little bit in the scheduling department so far this year. And again, there are a million considerations, home games, road games, you know, baseball conflicts in a couple of stadiums, a million considerations. It does appear the league could do a better job of equaling that out across the league. Going to take a break, come back with more. We've got phone lines open, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive this Monday morning. It is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
On Mondays, we're 10 a.m. to 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, and then back again 7 o'clock tonight. And we'll take you into Monday Night Football, the Vikings and the Giants on Monday Night Football tonight. Tomorrow, we'll be live at the NOCO Express Store, the brand new one at Campbell Boulevard and North French Road in Gettysville. We'll be there. C.J. Spiller will be there. The Buffalo Jills will be there. Hope to see you there as well. Here's Bill in his car. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to first say I really respect you as a broadcaster and a football expert, but I want to disagree with a couple things and side with a couple of callers. One, the club hand, it's not helping us at all, even in coverage. He missed some coverage yesterday that really hurt us. And plus the tackling. To me, it'd be like having a hockey player out there with no stick. It just doesn't make sense. The other thing is Thad Lewis looks better to me than just a little bit, you know, capable. He looks pretty good. And one question I had, I wanted to ask, where was Marquise Goodwin? And wouldn't it be great if we could get him into the game, even when all the wide receivers are healthy, get him in for some touches, because that guy's got tremendous speed. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, yeah, and I respect you and your opinions. They're not unreasonable opinions about those issues that you raised. I don't think Gilmore is a liability. Is he 100% healthy? No, but I honestly don't believe that he is a liability. Goodwin in on a total of five snaps yesterday. They ran a lot of two tight end sets yesterday. Could he play more? Yeah, he probably could, and he is definitely a threat when he gets the ball in his hands. So maybe that's something they can use more of moving forward. James in Nebraska. Hello, James. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, first off, how much better my Monday is than past Mondays. Second of all, I just want to talk about Aaron Williams and it seems how long he's come from being so maligned the past couple years. He's done so well for being in any kind of position the defensive staff has put him in. He's really become a fun player to watch, and it seems like he's turning a real ball hawk. And if we just get a couple other guys to really develop like that, you know, you just don't know where the guy's going to go. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, James. You know, and you make a good point about Aaron Williams. As I said at the top of the show at 10 o'clock, I consider him maybe the unsung hero of this Bills roster through the first seven games. Switching positions, making plays, being an effective and an impact player while switching positions after switching positions in the offseason. And I think there's a strong argument to be made when you watch a guy like Aaron Williams, who, as you said, was heavily criticized after his first couple of years in the league. I think that kind of bolsters the argument to some of these people, most of these players actually, you got to be patient with them. You got to let them develop. NFL players are not always ready to go out of the box. Sometimes you have to work with them, develop them. Sometimes they have to find the right fit in a system before they flourish. I think there's a strong argument that Aaron Williams is one of those guys. One last call, a quick one from Rob. Hello, Rob, you're on the air.
How you doing, Murph on the Turf?
Good.
All right, I just want to bring up Freddie Jackson.
Okay.
Reminiscence. He is definitely the toughest player since Jim Kelly to battle knee injuries. I mean, let's be frank about that, you know?
Yeah, he's very tough, and he's played through some injuries. And, you know, yesterday I think was probably another chapter, that third down run in the Fred Jackson story. That's what he does. I was right there. Somebody asked Stevie Johnson, he's a hero, or what did he say? Right there yesterday, somebody asked him in the locker room, what do you think of Fred Jackson? And he said, he's a hero. And he is. He's an inspirational figure, I think, to the rest of that locker room with the way he plays hurt, with the way he plays through injuries, with his quick recovery from injury, with his leadership, his positive outlook. I think he is, that's why he's a captain. He's definitely one of the guys that this team rallies around, Fred Jackson. And we've seen that not just this year, but throughout his career. Looking forward to seeing more. As Chris Brown said, Fred Jackson said that he did suffer a setback with his knee injury. So more on that from Coach Doug Marrone. He will meet with the media at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll have highlights of what the coach says on the nighttime version of the Monday show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. That's coming up tonight, 7 to 8 p.m., right before Monday Night Football. And again, tomorrow night, join us at the brand-new NOCO Express location, French Road and Campbell Boulevard in Gettysville. We'll be there. C.J. Spiller will be there. The Buffalo Jills will be there. We're on the air there, 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Matthew Collar, our engineer today. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. 7 o'clock show tonight, 7 till 8. Highlights of this show and, of course, some additions from head coach Doug Marrone. And then we're at NOCO tomorrow. So join us then. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.